Ben Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
One, two, kicking out a brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. It's Sunday, May 10th, 2026. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers out there, especially those mothers out there that love this crazy world that we love to talk about, professional wrestling.
There's one we got to give a special shout out to, right?
I was going to let you do the honors.
There's only one mama of professional wrestling, and that's my Mama Wayne.
I wasn't taking it away from you. I was going to let you give her the shout out. I didn't feel it was right. I was in the right there, but as you heard right there, Main Event Shep is joining yours truly tonight, the reigning defending KOP Predictions champion, Tanner Lee, and no Paul tonight, Shep.
Who?
No Paul. And so I teased it last week. I worked on a little something, so let's play a little song about Paul, shall we?
Oh, boy.
The load says he's the workhorse son while the calendar takes a roll. Got a can of Mountain Dew and a grin that won't behave. Talks like he built this thing from the first mic to the grave. He swears he's never missed a beat, then he misses half the run. But he talks so big and sweet, you think he got it done. Paul the workhorse, yeah, that's the line. Paul the workhorse most of the time. He loves that dude in a roughhouse show and guesses wrong wherever they go. Paul the workhorse, bless his soul, he pulls that wagon out of control. He lights up when the boys get mean. Two big bodies in a ring. Shows up in that same old life. And we love that stubborn fool for the mess and every win. Cause every barn needs one old mule who acts like he's in charge again. Paul the workhorse, yeah, that's the line. Paul the workhorse most the time. He loves that dude at a roughhouse show and guesses wrong wherever they go. Paul the workhorse, bless his soul, he pulls that wagon.
Wow. Like, okay, hey, I give you credit. That was a hell of a production thing, but AI is out of control.
It is, isn't it?
Because, I mean, it had to be AI, correct?
Yeah, it was AI generated.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And shout out to the boys over at the Turnbuckle Tavern. Sneed over there. Every week he makes an AI song making fun of one of their guys over there named Hawk. And I had to message him. I'm like, what software do you use? I need something, please. So shout out to those boys over there.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I can't wait till Paul hears that.
I know it.
And if he could, I think you should upload that to the main event Wrestling Network Discord that we're a part of, up in the corner that way. There it is.
There you go.
Oh, boys, yeah. Join the main event Wrestling Discord. We have a Discord for the marks out there in the IWC. Be kind to us. We're nice people, kind of.
Yeah, it's a fun group. Everybody's working hard. Great content, pushing out pods, pushing out vlogs, blogs as well.
Lots of wrongs.
Yeah, and talking all sorts of wrestling, AEW, WWE, TNA, AAA, independence, crazy stuff like that song I just played about Paul gets shared in there, sports, video games, you name it. So send a DM to MainEvent_net on social media, on any social media, and Kyle and the guys will get you going. So
yeah, I think the Kyle and the guys right now are doing the dusty finish.
Yep.
At the 8 o'clock, and now when they're done, they usually kind of jump in and say what's up to us. But I didn't do it last week because I was gone early in the week, and then I can't. You know, when you take 3 days, you know, everybody knows when you take 3 days of vacation, yeah, you come back to work, and it's just like you're 3 days behind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, there's kayfabe and coffee, usually a Kyle and JPJ. Out our boy out in Boston, usually love that. Like, literally, I get my coffee and put it on my computer as I do, you know, mindless bullshit paperwork, and listen to Kayfabe and Coffee and really enjoy it. Last week I missed it, but it's definitely on my schedule for this Tuesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. All the main events socials will definitely show that. But of the main event guys, like, I'm not saying the other guys are bad, just kind of my favorite one I get to listen to on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, it's a fun show for sure. It covers a lot throughout the world of pro wrestling. So, and one more plug here for the Main Event Wrestling Network. Make sure you are subscribed to the Main Event Wrestling Network's YouTube channel, as not this upcoming Saturday, but the following Saturday, May 23rd, your boys right here on the Kicking Out Podcast will be going live over there on the YouTube channel from 2 to 3 with our AEW Double or Nothing Prediction Show.
I did 2 to 4, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Well, actually, they're going 24 hours long.
So it's a 24-hour marathon starting the previous night on the 22nd on Friday at 8 p.m., going from 8 p.m. Friday night to 8 p.m. Saturday night with all different content. We're in the 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time block with our Double or Nothing Prediction Show. And as of right now, everybody, it will not be simulcast on our channel. Now, the day of, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to try to make it work, but as of right now, no. So the only way you'll be able to see it live is over there on the Main Event Wrestling Network's YouTube channel. I think I can probably get the audio on our side, but I don't know about video, so that's still up in the air. So just make sure you're subscribed to both channels.
Yeah.
And then you're good to go.
It's a great way to join over on the main event and check something a little new out. What's up, Steven Chambers?
What's going on, Steven? Good to see you, buddy. And we had some comments here from a very loyal viewer of ours who's over in Hungary. And he left this earlier. It's at KWYJIBO_ on YouTube. Hope you guys watch Fairway to Hell event as well. Unexpectedly good. Really unique venue. I had no idea there was something like an indoor golf course at all. He did say the audio mixing was lousy, though. You could hear the director's headset instructions over the normal microphone, the countdowns, the info, picture-in-picture, etc. Hope you guys could hear that, too. I didn't pick up on the audio there, but yeah, maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention, but I thought for a one-hour special kind of edition of Collision, if you will, on a Saturday night, I enjoyed it. Fun venue. Shep, you're a big golfer, as am I. We're big golf fans. I thought it was cool. I thought it was unique. It was something we've never seen.
So let's rewind a little bit back into the winter seasons.
Yes.
Did you watch TGL?
I'm an occasional watcher. I'm not a every week I have to watch, but I catch some.
And for the fans that watch golf, TGL was built by basically Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy.
Yes.
It's an arena that basically is just one massive golf simulator. And on the back part, which we saw Darby and Pac play around with, there's a rotating green that can change.
Yes.
So they can change that green whenever they want, like a real-life green. And when I saw that they were going to do a show at this venue, I'm like, okay, they're going to take the simulator up. They're going to put seats on the floor. We're going to put a ring in the middle. You know, they already have a kind of an entrance way for the golfers.
Yeah.
So that's going to be our entrance way for the wrestlers and life's good. I was wrong. It looked like a golf simulator arena.
I'm glad you were wrong though. I'm glad they kept it like that.
I am too. Especially called it Fairway to Hell.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll get into the main event later on, over in Hungary, I don't know how much TGL they get to see. It's on ESPN. So we do have an indoor arena built for just a golf simulator.
Yep.
That's the best way I can explain it.
Yep. And we'll get into the specifics later. But one thing I do want to shout out, I loved how everybody tapped into the golf theme from Renee Paquette's attire to the cameraman wearing golf gloves, even the golf attire. It's just fun. I found it very fun. So, but overall, there's a lot to hit on this week in AEW. I thought it was another good week. I thought we had another good Dynamite. But I want to start off with talking about what I titled this podcast as. Will MJF be bald? Because Darby kept saying, you know, MJF wants a rematch. He wants a chance to get his title back, Triple B. Darby's like, you got to put something on the line. And MJF is first like, okay, my scarf. Darby's like, no. Okay, my diamond ring. Darby's like, no. Darby says he wants his hair. Something that MJF legit went over to Turkey and got hair implants within the last year. And Darby brought that up. So assuming MJF accepts it, assuming Darby successfully defends his world title against Kinoshita Takeshita, not Kazuchika Okada. That was a change last night for anybody who might have missed that. I'll get into that in a little bit. Assuming Darby successfully defends his title yet again Wednesday night, that's our title match at Double or Nothing. Do you like that stipulation, hair versus title?
Yes. 100%. I know everybody thought coming out of it on Thursday, you know, watching social medias and listening to Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7, everybody thought it was kind of lackluster.
I was one of those come Thursday, I will admit.
But if you think about it, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I don't know. If you shave your head after implants, them sons of bitches growing back?
That's what a lot of people are speculating. I'm assuming so, but I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
I mean,
should I throw it in the Google machine and see what Google says?
I mean, you already AI'd a song about Paul. I mean, what would change?
That's a great point.
So I do love the stipulation because it takes MJF a step back, you know. Hey, he can go buy another scarf. Hey, he can go buy another ring. I don't know if he can buy more hair.
It says, according to AI on Google, yes, if you shave your hair implants, they will grow back normally. Because the hair follicles are transplanted from the permanent donor area of your scalp. They're not susceptible to the same loss mechanism as the original balding hair will continue to grow just like normal hair once the scalp is healed.
Okay. I mean, I like it.
Stephen Chambers said MJF would be like Gru's son off Despicable Me. Really don't see it happening, MJF getting the title at the pay-per-view. And he says, like a chia pet. Growing back.
I mean, if MJF knows 100% they're growing back, I mean, it changes my mind a little bit. But I think with us getting Darby defending this belt every week.
Which I love, by the way.
100%. And not just against mid-carders or jobbers or outside guys. I mean, we're talking the topper echelon of the AEW roster. I can see him dropping the belt. He's tired. He's beat the shit out of. I mean, and then that – I know it's a short run, but if you look back on it, it was one hell of a short run.
One hell of a run, and it elevates Darby more than ever. Like, I wasn't sure what to expect, and I'm already like – I mean, look at the four matches he's had. Ciampa, Brody King, Kevin Knight, Pac. Now, Takeshi's coming up. Then, assuming he successfully defends or doesn't hurt himself, MJF. Hell of a run. And it makes me view Darby as a bigger star, even when he drops it. Like, look what he did during his run. Like, he is a working champion.
Yeah. But then you're gonna have haters saying, "Well, if he's a working champion, he should have went 10 weeks, not
sure." You know, and there, I've already seen the haters like, "Oh, they're taking away with Darby defending it every week. It takes away the special attraction of world title matches on television."
No, I love it. Give me.
I think they're squeezing every ounce they can out of this run because they know it's not gonna be long.
Because when's the last time you got a world title match in Connecticut? On television, sorry.
It's been a while. They do like one or two a year, it seems like.
Maybe one a quarter.
They do mid-card ones, but.
Sure, but
the big two, yeah.
Yeah, the big belt, let's go.
Yeah. So, yeah, but like I mentioned, yeah, Don Callis last night backstage said Okada's over in Japan dealing with a family issue. Now, I didn't know if they meant like his family or the Callis family, but I assume he meant like Okada's family because Kenosuke Takeshita is now going against Darby this upcoming Wednesday night on Dynamite, which I like that better. I didn't like Okada. I'm like, he's already the international champion, and like he should be focusing on Takeshita, not going after Darby. Like when he first said on the mic that he was going to go after the world title, I'm like, all right. After Double Nothing, there we go. That's like our forbidden door route. It's Okada, like, because we haven't seen Okada go after the big gold yet, and I think it'd be great. But then they announced that. I'm like, wait a second. So we're already getting Darby and Pac. Then we're getting Darby Okada. But what if Pac somehow beats Darby? I just didn't think any of it made sense. So I'm glad now that we're getting a whole different match. I think that's the route they should have went in the first place.
And I think this is – I'm sure they've faced off before. But I would say this is going to be first of many world championship matches between Darby and Takeshita.
Yep. And they put on a banger last time they went against each other. So
yeah, and I'm okay with it.
Sean Martin 6873 on YouTube says, "I'm not going to make assumptions until the ink is dry on the contract. To me, this is a way for a vain and desperate MJF to have no choice to offer up the Cody stip in order to save his hair."
I mean,
I think that's what a lot of people thought was going to be proposed Wednesday night, was the Cody stip.
I think that's a great comeback. But maybe his stip is, "I will never challenge you while you hold the belt." Because MJF at his age and his contract status, re-signing all this, you can't say, "I'll never challenge for the world title ever again."
Well, we just did it with Hangman.
Yeah.
So
maybe I'll never challenge for the belt while you hold it. Okay. And then, you know, Darby drops it 4, 5, 6 months later, whatever. Then MJ's back. That's okay. But maybe that might be the only stip that would save the hair.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you there. But I was a little underwhelmed at first by the stipulation. But now that I've let it breathe, which I think every wrestling fan, no matter what promotion you like, sometimes we need to let things breathe before we just go out on the internet and let our feelings be known.
Hold on. You mean to say the IWC doesn't take a chill and take it all in?
Correct.
You mean they're just keyboard warriors, like, at the moment?
Correct.
That doesn't make no sense, Tanner. How dare you talk about them like that?
You know, the truth hurts sometimes. But after letting it breathe, I've come around to it. I think it's it makes an interesting wrinkle in the match, for sure. But I loved how Dynamite opened this week. Of course, we got the news midweek that Ted Turner, cable TV mogul, if you will. I mean, this guy, cable television as we know it, is not the same without Ted Turner. Pro wrestling is not the same without Ted Turner. With his willingness to put big money on the table, give Eric Bischoff what he wanted to compete with the WWF at the time. Without him doing that, we don't get the Monday Night Wars. Professional wrestling right now in 2026 isn't what it is without Ted Turner's dedication and love for professional wrestling. So I thought it was very fitting. We'd expect nothing less from a Tony Khan ran or promotion to have a very classy tribute to Ted Turner, led by Tony Giovanni and the legend, the icon, Sting.
If this was so tastefully done by them, obviously Tony Schiavone was hired by Ted Turner back in the day. Sting technically was hired by Ted Turner back in the day.
And you're and I'm not trying to call you old here, Shep.
Hey, but asshole.
You remember the old school WCW days way more than I do.
I remember the Surfer Sting.
Exactly.
Surfer Sting was like, I was in on Surfer Sting. And then I remember Nitro came on later than Raw. So I would watch, back then I didn't know any different, right? I didn't have the interweb. I didn't know the shit was taped.
Right.
So I'd watch a tape Raw. I'd watch a tape Raw and then I'd turn over, you know, the last hour of Raw, first hour of Nitro. Back in the day, my lovely television, I think it was channel 85 and 86. So they were one channel apart. And I could watch both. And that was Surfer Sting, Harlem Heat, Hogan before he turned with the NWO. Ric Flair was gone at the time because he was over in WWE. The Steiner Brothers. The Nasty Boys had come down. You had Mr. Perfect in the early 90s had jumped ship and was in WCW. Lex Luger. Anyways, I was hooked on both shows before the Monday Night War started. But fast forward to where we are today, I don't believe we would have an AEW on Turner television, if it wasn't for Ted, knowing his love for professional wrestling. So that's awesome. I mean, you know, yeah. I love the way they paid respect to him, and it just shows that his passion, his legacy, his vision led on, and guess what? They're still making money for the network.
Yep.
As we see.
And you don't think of WCW or wrestling on any Turner channel, whether it be TBS or TNT, without thinking of Sting.
Sting and Flair.
And Flair, but
even though
Flair, like you mentioned, Flair did leave for a little bit.
He did leave for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Sting and Luger were such mainstays back in the days. So were the Steiner Brothers. Steiner Brothers got their, you know.
Yep.
Their start there. And I give you a little, do you believe in the 5 degrees of separation?
Yeah.
So Ted Turner was married to Jane Fonda. We all know that, right? Mm-hmm. They got divorced in 2001. I graduated in 2001. But I had a friend who dated a he dated a girl. Her dad was the pilot for the Biomet jet out of Warsaw, Indiana. In 2003-04-ish, my girlfriend, my best friend and his girlfriend, her dad flew us down on the Biomet jet from Warsaw, Indiana to Orlando. It was empty going down. They're bringing doctors to come back. Well, that was their first flight on the jet. They had just purchased it from the divorce decree of Ted Turner and Jane Fonda. So I got to fly on Ted Turner's jet one time in my life.
Is this what I love about doing a podcast with you, Ship? You're constantly pulling these cool stories out that have some kind of relation to the pro wrestling world in them. And I have no clue about them. Like you sharing a story a couple years ago now about selling engine to Shane McMahon.
Shane McMahon, yep.
Yeah, it's just good stuff.
You know, I'm full of it, but I remember on the plane and the pilots and the stewardess, you know, were sitting there. And again, the only time I've ever flown private in my life, right? And it's because my best friend's girlfriend's dad's the pilot. And we're sitting there and we get up and they're like, "You want beer?" And I'm like, "I'm only 20, you know, we don't care." Okay. So, you know, we start drinking beers and I'm like, this plane is amazing, right? It was a beautiful plane and had screens. And again, this is 2003-04 technology, right?
Right.
And the one pilot, obviously a friend of ours. And then the other pilot was telling, he's like, "Oh, we just acquired this plane. It was in the divorce battle between Ted Turner and Jane Fonda, and they had to get rid of the plane." I'm like, holy shit, this is it, you know. And back then I'm thinking, back in 2003, if I would have said Ted Turner WCW with this group, they would have looked at me like, "What? Like, what are you talking about?" But I'm just like, "Oh, WCW. You
know? WCW, the Braves, the Hawks."
Yeah.
Of course, the other channels he owned. But yeah.
I did associate, obviously, with the Braves and the Hawks, but the first thing that came to mind was WCW.
Sure, sure.
You know,
absolutely. You know. Absolutely.
But in 2003, if I would have said that to the group of people, I would have been, they'd been like,
Yeah. What are you talking about?
We're going to throw your ass off the plane.
Steve's an awesome tribute, Ted Turner. Also, kudos to WWE and TNA with the tribute too, as well. Yeah, I figured they would do what they did, at least put a graphic up. So.
Yeah.
After that, the match to kick off Dynamite, like we're getting accustomed to, Jon Moxley with a banger of a match to kick things off, this time with Juice Robinson in an AEW Continental Championship Eliminator match. Pretty good match in the end. Mox gets the win.
I like the match, but I don't know that in nothing being an Eliminator match. I have a little bit of a hope right in the back over here going,
right,
hey, Juice and Mox could have a hell of a battle, like a hell of a story, because they're both really good on the mic. Mox is crazy in one way. Juice is crazy in the other way.
Mm-hmm.
This could be really entertaining. And then Mox goes over.
Yeah.
But
we got another fun vignette of Ospreay's training with the Death Riders backstage.
Where's the ring?
So pretty much Mox told Will he's different from all the others in AEW. He's got that 1% to go on the mountain, but it'll be the hardest part of the journey yet. And it's only the only good option Ospreay has left. And it's interesting. They're tying this in with New Japan too. So we see his boys over there, United Empire. They're not happy about Ospreay hanging out with the Death Riders. But he made it well known that he is not a part of the Death Riders. But he's got to use their help pretty much to get his confidence back. It's all going to explode eventually.
You think we'll get a Blood and Guts, United Empire, Death Riders?
Well, you know, I'm glad they didn't go this route, but I thought we might get an Anarchy in the Arena, or now that we know what it's actually going to be called this year since it's open-air Stadium Stampede. I'm glad they didn't go that way. I think we're going to get Newman and Ospreay somewhere. I don't know if that's Forbidden Door or somewhere down the line. I think that's where it explodes.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't go with Stadium Stampede or Anarchy in the Arena, because those are entertaining matches, but they're more gimmicky, where you don't see some real professional wrestling.
Yeah. Stephen Chambers would have been perfect for White, as Jay White, to show up. It's got to be coming soon. I'm almost putting my chips, no pun intended, that'll be Double or Nothing, that Jay comes back. I don't know what his injury status is, but he's got to be getting close.
Well, it's my turn to go to AI. Right?
Yep.
I mean, it's been an AI themed show.
Freaking AI. We got a 10-man tag match. Dax. Excuse me. This was not the 10-man tag. Scratch that. Wrong notes up. This was Dax versus Orange Cassidy in a double jeopardy match. It looked like a 10-man tag because it was pretty much a lumberjack match. Because in Dax's corner, you had Cash, you had Stokely, you had Ciampa, you had Mark Davis, you had Trent, you had Rocky Romero, and the Dogs. In Orange Cassidy, you had Roddy Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, the Young Bucks, Edge, and Christian. And in the end, Orange Cassidy gets the win. So Orange and, I'm assuming, Roderick Strong get a tag team title shot.
Yeah. Yes, I think you are correct.
Yeah. And then after the match, everybody took out Rocky Romero and Trent.
All AI is saying that Howie was taken off TV to heal from a hand injury that would require surgery.
He got his hand done. I believe he got his shoulder fixed up too.
But guess who took him off TV?
Death Riders.
So there you go.
There we go. Well, now you got the Dogs. Like, there's a lot of stories. You can insert Jay White right in there with the Bang Bang Gang and be ready to roll. And Death Riders Bang Bang Gang interaction this Wednesday night, we're getting Ospreay versus Ace Austin, which is going to be a crazy match. Because Ospreay's been cleared by the doctors they announced last night. So
perfect.
Yep.
I like Ace Austin too.
I do too. I think he's doing good work. I mean, will win that match? Yes. But it'll be a fun match. They also announced we're going to be getting the brackets for the Owen. So it's the Owen season. I love the Owen.
On the male side, do we see an Eddie Kingston return in this bracket?
Man, I hope so.
He's due, right?
He's in ROH too much. Like, get him up.
Yeah, I'm ready for him to come back.
Like, lately, because he was in the news speaking of how he doesn't like CM Punk, pretty much. So a lot of people are bringing up their feud again, and in that promo he cut on Punk. Man, that was so good in 2021. I'm like, we need that Eddie back.
Yes. But is he waiting for just the right guy to feud with? I mean, the right guy to feud with to me would be Moxley, Okada.
He's kind of stuck with feuds.
Yeah, because he's not a guy you could bring in. Like, I would love for him to go in and try to dismantle the Don Callis family. He'd be a great guy to do that with. But he's not going to go out and have a banger of a match with a Kyle Fletcher. I know Kyle Fletcher's on the shelf. I'm just using
that as an example. That's a good example, though.
Yeah. We've seen him work with Okada before, and it works.
I mean, but he could go up against your new national champion, Mark Davis.
Yeah.
You know?
Go ahead and cue that, you know. Oh, I thought you had it ready.
I should. I should always have my finger on that button.
Oh, big meaty man. Oh, big meaty man slapping each other. Oh.
So really that would work as well. Him and Lance Archer could work well together.
Yeah.
Alexander's hurt, correct?
Yes, he's got to be out for a long time.
He's out for a while. So, yeah, there's some guys in the Mark Davis.
I think your boy Brian Cage should be – I mean, he's clear. He's Warrior Wrestling next week, so I don't know why he hadn't been on AEW yet.
I mean, I would love for – Set him on fire? Is that, was that too much?
That might be a little too far.
Warrior Wrestling next week, South Bend.
Yep.
I might go.
There you go.
If hopefully Brian Cage doesn't listen to this podcast if I go, and
oh, I hope he does.
Me threaten to set him on fire. I might. I mean, you guys can tag me in.
He's a big dude.
I could maybe run up the stairs faster. I'd spear him.
Maybe.
I'd run up the stairs. Yeah,
you would.
You think I'd bounce off?
Yes. Yes, I do. Or you'd hit and just slide down. Yeah. Chris Jericho comes out. He's pissed off. He calls out Ricochet. And Ricochet challenges Chris Jericho. Says, 6 years ago, you created your own match, AEW Double or Nothing, Stadium Stampede match. And he says he won't just beat Jericho with the Rico Salt. But he says, Jericho, you don't have any partners. Nobody likes you. You have to pay people to team up with you. And Jericho's like, oh, I can find people that don't like you. But if not, I'll take all of you on by myself. Gets into the brawl with the Demand. They're beating him up. The Hurt Syndicate's music hits. Out comes Lashley and Benjamin. So we know there's three, right? Three right there.
Three on three.
So it's supposed to be three on three, but even though they said each side's got to find two more guys, right? For five on five. Well, I don't know if you caught this on Collision. That's now turned into seven on seven instead of five on five.
I did not catch that on Collision.
Well, and I'm or Fairway to Hell. Sorry, Fairway to Hell last night.
Sorry.
Well. Ricochet cost Jack Perry his national title against Mark Davis by hitting Jack Perry in the back with a golf club. Jack Perry's pissed, said Jericho's looking for a partner. And he was on the phone, got off the phone, says pissed. So right away I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be him and Luchasaurus is going to come back. There's your five, right? He said, well, I just got off the phone. We're adding four guys, the Elite. So the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Jack Perry got inserted into this match. So Ricochet later on was talking to Don Callis, and Callis is going to ring up four guys to join Ricochet in the Demand. I was thinking we were going to get the Dogs in the match.
So you're going to have Jericho back in with the Elite
for this match, I guess. This tells me Tony wanted these guys on the card and wasn't sure to do with them. So he's putting them. I mean, but when you think about these matches, you do think about the Elite. They're usually involved in this match.
Or we're watching a Jericho farewell tour that they're just not announcing. And he wants to work with everybody.
Could be, even though he signed a multi-year deal.
But a part of that multi-year deal is when he was done in ring, he's going to be backstage.
Yeah.
So you give me a year of in-ring, and then, you know, I'm backstage doing whatever.
Sean Martin said, Eddie is teaming with Ortiz and helping develop the young wrestlers. Also looks like Mance Warner is joining them to form a six-man to feud with STP.
Yeah, you know, how did TNA not find a way to make Mance Warner work?
Because they screwed his wife over.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like Carlos Silva. So.
He is.
I have a lot of respect for that guy.
It, you know what, though? And we've watched enough shows on Netflix, Paramount, whatever. Mm. Shows about how corporate America controls one person and that one person has to control this company. I think Triple H has his hand so far up Carlos Silva's ass, he can't shit correctly.
You're probably right.
So, I'm a fan of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I came back to professional wrestling because of AEW, something different. I love ROH. I love GCW. You know, those are the kind of ones I follow. And it's just like all of a sudden you had this great partnership with TNA and NXT, and I thought it was doing really well. And then you got some other companies gaining some traction, and then they said, hey, wait a minute, stop. Don't cut that shit off. And only thing I can think of is obviously TNA's getting a check from Connecticut. And they said, what? If you don't want this check to stop coming, here's some new rules. And
might be on something there.
Yeah. Like I said, and Carlos Silva wants to make sure his guys get a paycheck. I understand that on his side. He wants to make sure he's got a paycheck. I understand that. On our end, it just looks like a chicken shit.
I see him changing. Imagine Jericho using the tennis ball gun in the nuts. Oh, yeah. Oh, at a tennis stadium, that's going to happen for sure.
Sure. So,
and I like how the match concept's the same, but depending on where they host it, the title of the match changes. This year being outdoors arena, it's Stadium Stampede again. The last 4 years, it's been ran inside, so it was Anarchy in the Arena.
And doesn't the Arthur Ashe Stadium, I know we have the main arena, but when they host, do they host the U.S. Open there for
they
tennis?
They do, but the Double or Nothing is actually at the Louis Armstrong Stadium, which is right next to Arthur Ashe because Arthur Ashe is going through reconstruction.
So I'm trying to just picture how they're going to have your main arena, and then you're going to have this sub.
I think you do it like if you remember Double or Nothing 2021. It was in Daly's place. It was the first show with an audience back when the pandemic was coming to an end, right? Or slowing down. They started it all backstage and fought around the stadium and then came into the main arena part. I think that's how they do it again.
Well, because around that, isn't there a bunch of other little tennis facilities?
Yes.
For
yes.
Like, I don't know, when you have the U.S. Open, so there's other qualifiers going on.
Yeah,
there's not everybody gets like main that. Court. Yeah. So.
Yep. So it I like these matches because we get to see the creative juices flowing out of TK and out of all the performers. So you got to think Mark Davis is going to be in the match. He just beat Jack Perry, and he's the national champion. I don't know what other Callis family members you put in there. It can't be Okada or Takeshita. Fletcher's on the shelf. Alexander's on the shelf. So it might be some of those guys you were naming earlier.
Archer. Is Cage technically in the Don Callis family? Is he still with what was Ricochet's tag team? The two guys that with him that were when they were
yeah, he's not with them. He's with Callis.
Gorillas of Destiny. Am I saying that right? No, that was in New Japan.
That was New Japan. I can't think of what now they're the man with Ricochet. I don't remember what they were. But
anyways.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about. Anyways, but sticking with the Callis family, Okada defended his international championship against Brian Keith. Fight match. Knew Okada was gonna win, but like nothing against Brian Keith, but I'm sitting there thinking like why is Brian Keith getting a shot at this type thing? And I feel like that happens way too often to the mid-card titles in AEW.
Yeah, they want to promote the mid-card titles on television, and so that's how they do it. We've been bitching about that for years, but yep. We know it's coming, and it is what it is.
After that, we got a women's tag match. Shida and Statlander versus Mina Shirakawa and Harley Cameron, which earlier in the night, Mina thought Harley had her wrestling gear underneath her shirt, ripped her shirt off right down to her bra.
Hey-o!
Some would say, like Majin, I saw on Twitter, said she's the breast wrestler.
Does Majin have a lisp?
He's not in the comments, by the way, tonight.
So. I know. We can't pick on him. We can't pick on him tonight.
I feel like I can't pick on him with him not here. But fine match. In the end, Sheeta and Stat got the win. But something about their pairings not doing it for me. I find this is the match, like whenever they're on TV, this is the match I'm not paying attention to, or it's my bathroom break match. And I hate saying that because I think both ladies are very talented, but something's not gelling with me, Shep. And it's Gates of Agony, Sean Miller said was the name. Thank Gates you, Sean Martin. Excuse me, Sean Martin. Thank you.
Yeah, Thank you. He's right. He's right. I don't disagree with you on this.
I don't know why. It just
are we missing Mercedes and Tony that much?
Yes. I was thinking about this the other day, and they announced it's gonna be a four-way match at Double or Nothing for Tekla's world title. Tekla, those two, Sheeta and Stat, and Jamie Hayter, which I think is kind of lazy booking because you haven't established anybody.
A story.
Maybe the stories are lacking for the women's titles. TBS title as well. Like, nobody's stepping up in the absence of Tony and Mercedes. And I just think, like, you know, we talk about how deep the division is all the time, but is it not as talented as we think?
Well, again, you and I are just two jackalopes sitting on a microphone on the interwebs drinking toddies. But first of all, and I've said this 447 times, and I've only been on the pod 420 times. What the hell is Athena still doing down in ROH?
It's a joke, man.
I know Stephen Chambers, not a Mercedes fan.
I feel like nobody is except us.
She's entertaining, and
she's good in the ring.
She makes some mistakes, but hey, we're not all perfect.
Yeah.
She's
got to be coming back,
too. She's got to be close. She's got to be close.
She's lost all her titles, so.
But back to I just feel like this is the same with Mercedes and Tony out. This is the same four or five females that we're getting at all times. So now we're just trying to figure out. We got a pay-per-view coming up, PLE. We got to figure out how to put them on there.
Pay-per-view for AEW.
Yeah, pay-per-view. We got to figure out how to do this. Yeah. So we just ask shit, just all throw them together.
Yeah. Stephen Chambers said, hurry up with Athena losing her ROH title coming up this Friday. Get Athena and Dynamite versus Tekla. And you know, and I know some people don't like Tekla as champion. I think she's doing good work. It's just we don't see her enough. We see her cut promos. We're not seeing her in the ring very much. And I'm like, what are we doing? This is your women's champion. She's not featured very much. We're seeing Sky Blue and Julia Hart featured more. And I'm sorry. Those two aren't cutting it for me. Like, it's just they're the same monotone character, supposed to be spooky. Like, I feel like they are weighing Tekla down.
Maybe we get a Sky Blue face change on Tekla, and Sky Blue goes back to her happy-go-lucky days that we all enjoyed.
Yeah. I don't know. Something. Yeah. Something's got to give in that division. It's lacking right now. In the tag team, Divine Dominion, we get them on television, but it's squash matches every time. And we already know they're dominant. Like, give us some team with a little more credibility. Yeah. Like, we know how it's going to end. I think it's even at All In. I think that's where it's going to happen. The Brawling Birds are going to dethrone them. We know that's where it's going, but you got to give them some reasonable challengers in the meantime. God. I mean, on Fairway to Hell, it was like a five-minute challenge, pretty much. They put a five-minute timer up. Match didn't last near 5 minutes. So, yeah. But the Dynamite main event that carried into Collision, since they were together Wednesday night. Darby Allin defended his AEW world title against Kevin Knight. Very fun match. Kevin Knight is not the future of AEW. He's the present.
I'll disagree with that.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that we will never see Kevin Knight as a world champion. Kevin Knight is a above phenomenal superstar in the ring. Okay. He's young. He's above average on the mic. Okay.
So needs we a little mic work, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to merge those two together. He's getting lost in the mix, is what I'm saying.
How so? As the TNT champ, he's on about every week.
He's on every week, though. But yet, he took an L this past week.
He did. Obviously. I mean, but after the match, Sting rose his hand along with Darby's. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty kudos. Good. Pretty good kudos. But I mean, if you want to talk about the present, the two guys doing the workhorse is Darby and Mox.
You're right.
So, is he in that category? Yeah, he's the mid card, and so's Mox is the mid card as well. But it's Mox, okay?
Yeah, but no, Mox is main event player. He's just
right.
He's elevating a title. And I guess when I say he's the present, to me, he has shown he belongs. Like he's a future. Significant future part of the company, but he has shown the last month, no, I belong with the big dogs.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. But I mean, those two spots he did, that jump off the turnbuckle onto the announce table with the clothesline and then the coast to coast. I'm like, there's nobody else in the company that can do that.
Probably one of the most athletic guys in the ring right now.
Yeah.
That we have. Yeah, you have a Fletcher, you have an Ospreay. Fletcher's on the shelf. Ospreay's going to be hurt for the rest of his life, basically.
Right, right.
But this is the new, you know, Ospreay at 10 years ago, Ospreay was this guy.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Yes. Kevin Knight's partner, Speedball Mike Bailey, opened up Collision against AR Fox. Fun match. Speedball gets the win. I still think there's something there. Kevin Knight and Speedball. One of them's going to turn on the other eventually.
I wouldn't mind seeing Speedball challenge for the belt. You know, he's very good in the ring. You know, as JR would say, he's quicker than a hiccup. But eventually I think, yeah, you're going to have to separate them because you're going to have to elevate one of them, right?
Yep.
So yep. Celebrate it.
And eventually you got to get him in more programs. Like it seems like Speedball just has a lot of matches. They have matches. I mean, he's a hell of a worker, but like, let's get him intertwined a little bit more stories.
If they split, I could see Speedball being with the conglomeration.
He would fit in pretty well with his personality there.
He would.
Sean Martin, Athena has more creative freedom than she will on AEW when she does come up. Be honest with yourself. Would Warner allow 5 qualifying matches in a proving ground match for the women to air on AEW TV?
Yeah.
The answer is no. So you got a point. You got a point there.
Which
Stephen Chambers said, Stephen Chambers says Owen Hart men's final. Sorry, Speedball versus Kevin Knight. That would be fun, but I don't know. That means the winner of that though is going on to main event All In. That's the one thing with the Owen. I think it's got to be Will Ospreay.
Or you put him in the same side of the bracket.
There you go. Yeah, and you face off.
And face off in a quarter
to get to the final. Yeah, or semi. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that. But you were saying, Shep, I didn't mean to cut you off.
But no. Back to Sean Martin's comment. If Athena really has that much creative control at ROH, and she knows it, if she knows she will lose that going to AEW, I can that give me a little bit of. I don't know how to say this. A little bit of peace, knowing that that's the reason. It's her choice. It's her choice,
and it very well could be.
It could be, and I hope that maybe gives me a little bit of relaxation that I'm just like, Tony, what the fuck are you doing, man? She should be there.
Yeah.
But if she's comfortable where she's at, she's calling her own shots. She can work the indies, and she's happy. You know, obviously more power to her if that's the truth. And But it sheds some light of us always just over here banging our heads against the wall going, what the fuck's Tony thinking of having her on TV?
100%. So,
thanks, Sean.
100%.
Sean, you have contributed more this show than Paul has in the last fucking 2 months. Just so you know.
He's the workhorse, though. He's the workhorse.
We'll finish the show with that song with anybody that hadn't listened.
Yes, we got to play some of it at the end of the pod. Sky Blue versus Jamie Hayter. I'm not going to waste my breath on this. Jamie Hayter got the win. I've already kind of made my feelings known about the women's division right now, and I'm just kind of over it. Sorry. Roosh versus Manny Lowe. This match was like 3 seconds long. Once again, they're building Roosh for something, and I can't figure out what it is. But he's just squashing people left and right.
Tony Khan loves Roosh.
Yeah, he does. He really does. Sean Martin says, Deonna recently did an interview with a Fox News affiliate saying free agents should look to sign with ROH. He talked about how many matches a week happen for the women and the freedom to be creative. And she's another one that's been outspoken about wanting to be used more.
There you go.
We got ECHEEA16 on YouTube. Commander is good. Yeah, haven't mentioned Commander not tonight, but yeah, I agree. He is a talented performer.
Very talented.
And Stephen Chambers said, Roosh versus Kevin Knight. Wouldn't mind seeing that. That'd be fun. I like that. Getting Roosh involved in the TNT title picture, maybe. I like that.
Yeah, that's perfect for Roosh.
The main event on Collision was a lot of fun. You had the Death Riders and the Dogs versus the Young Bucks and the Bang Bang Gang. You know, I got to be honest. I thought the one guy that stole the show was Colton Gunn. I thought he looked really good in his first match back.
Those guys are very athletic. They're very good in the ring. But what their personality takes over, their charisma, they really get that from their father.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if we all remember their father back in the Attitude Era. He was just over the top. And these boys have obviously watched enough tape, and I've been taught by him. Their attitude, their charisma, their personalities just makes you want to like them.
Yes.
And we want to like them now, but before they got hurt and they were in the Bang Bang Gang Club when they were heels, they were so easy to hate.
Yes, they were, because they can be cocky sons of bitches too.
Yes. So that just tells me they understand it and they get it.
This group gets it. The Bang Bang Gang. That's why I want Jay White back. They can be full force because they can get so over with Juice now with Austin in the mix. Man, you can have a lot of fun. Like I said, get them intertwined with the Dogs, which I saw some people complaining how the Dogs have been used. Like, my one complaint is, as a group, they've taken a lot more L's than I'd like to see. But with Gabe Kidd on the shelf, I'm glad Finley and Clark Connors are still being featured almost every single week. And if you're paying attention, David Finley has yet to take a pin. So he's being protected. So I have no problem with it.
And there's so much history there with Jay White, Juice, Finley. I know Gabe's on the shelf. Then you throw Mox in there. They're all intertwined because of New Japan. That there's so much storytelling to be told.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that was Dynamite and Collision. And then last night we had Fairway to Hell, which I've kind of already went over the results. Mark Davis defeated Jack Perry to become the new national champion. Speedball beat somebody. It was a match that wasn't even announced, but they just kind of threw it in there. Divine Dominion squashed two jobbers that didn't get entrances. And then Darby defended his title successfully against Pac in a very fun match that, like Shep was mentioning at the top of the pod, went all over the golf part of the stadium. You got Darby hitting a Pac with a Canadian Destroyer into the bunker. You had a drop kick into the bunker. You had Darby just taking a backdrop on the turf. You had Darby getting thrown off 15 feet off the railing through three tables were stacked up. He got through one cleanly and kind of another one. But in the end, Darby gets the win, even with interference from the Death Riders. So crowd was huge for Darby. Very fun main event. I really enjoyed it.
You know, I know the table spot was nuts, but you and I play golf here locally.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was give you a Canadian Destroyer in any bunker on our golf course.
Oh, my God. I'm not getting up.
There's not enough sand there. There's not enough cushion.
No, I'll break my neck.
Now, a little bit
also,
different.
I want to see you give a Canadian Destroyer. No offense.
I need a running start.
Okay, that's fair.
I need, yeah,
trampoline?
I need
a little run. How about trampoline?
Oh, I can do trampoline. I'd shock you on trampoline.
You probably would.
Probably. But I'm just like, I've played a lot of golf courses. There's,
yes, you
have. Know, and there's some golf courses you get in the bunker and there's a lot of cushion there.
Yeah.
But not a lot. But like you look at the golf course that we play here, of course, our golf course, our superintendent's a fucking douchebag. But anyways, that's besides a whole nother podcast. But like there might be a quarter inch of sand.
Yeah. There's a reason they don't even rake them, everybody.
Yeah. So give TGL the benefit of the doubt and give them a half inch. That's just ground.
Yeah.
You know, or metal flooring in that case, their case.
Yep.
So but, that stood out to me. It was one of the things that stood out to me.
It was a fun match. I mean, we knew Darby was gonna win, but it was still a fun match. Like I came away entertained. And it was funny, you know, I was watching Backlash. Backlash.
Backlash. That's so good.
So RVD back. Well, I can't even do it like how he did in 06. He was like way off cadence from everybody else. Like
he was stoned.
Yeah. Backlash. But so I was watching that and like right when John Cena announces John Cena Classic, I'm like, oh, it's 8 o'clock. Time for Fairway to Hell. Rather watch this than the rest of Backlash. So yeah.
Although the highlight of Backlash was Minnehausen.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, I was so happy. Like, I watched the segment of him trying to clone himself, which was fucking comedy.
Oh, he's hilarious. Then how it's hilarious, but like.
And then the machine acting up halfway through, and then all of a sudden, it makes sense. We get Minnehausen, which was awesome. And then the machine acting up again, and we get multi-Minnehausen. Like, it all worked. And I was so happy because we thought it was CM Punk.
Oh, it was a jelly roll.
Well, we thought it was Jelly Roll, which I would have hated.
Yeah, he needs to. They need to stay away for a while.
And you know, I'm a Jelly Roll fan.
Yeah,
like his music.
Yes.
And then the other guy was Stephen A. Smith.
Now that I probably would have sold my tickets Saturday night's main event. Stephen A. showed up.
The only thing I want Stephen A. Smith to show up on WWE television is somebody puts him through a table.
Yep.
Like I want Kane to
can
come
it be
back.
Can it be burning table? Can we make that happen?
I said Kane to come back.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inferno match.
Okay. Yeah. But geez. So that was my highlight of Backlash. Now, I thought the highlights of the main event, the way it finished.
Make Jacob look strong.
Make Jacob look good without making Roman lose the belt.
Yeah. But we won't go into a WWE rabbit hole tonight.
We'll
keep it AEW focused because I'm afraid I'd go down a – And we're not going down this, but I'm just saying I'm afraid I'd go down a Gingerbread Man rabbit hole and we'd go like another hour. Oh. So not doing it. That was just freaking terrible.
That was now did you see – hold on. I'm not going down the rabbit hole, but did you see that they – all the social media sites basically blamed Molly Holly?
Yes.
Was the producer. It was her gig.
She's being told to produce that segment. That wasn't her idea.
I know, but the way they made it sound.
I know, but.
It was like her deal. And I'm like, they made her take the fall for that shit.
Yeah, I know. It's messed up.
Molly Holly. So good. I like Molly Holly.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. Yeah. But Dynamite, Wednesday night so far announced. We got Ospreay versus Ace Austin. We got Clark Connors, David Finlay, Ciampa, and FTR versus Cope, Christian, Orange Cassidy, and the Young Bucks. 10-man tag match. and Darby defending his world championship against Takeshita. Another fire card.
I love it. I know we always bitch about some of Tony's bookings.
Sure.
But when he goes to advertise, when you're sitting here on a Sunday night and you see those four matches already advertised for Wednesday, you're like, fuck, I'm watching.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get that on the other shows.
No. Just we still got two Dynamites and two Collisions before Double or Nothing. So a little more time to add to the card. Card's looking good so far. I'm surprised. Well, no, I'm not. I was going to say, I'm surprised we haven't had more announced, but it's Tony Khan. Let me bring up the card so far so I don't forget anything. We got the Tag Team Championship I Quit match, Cope and Cage. Tag Team Championship I Quit New York Street Fight match, Cope and Cage versus FTR. Got the International Championship, Okada versus Takeshita. We got the women's four-way, Tekla, Sheeta, Statlander, and Jamie Hayter. And we have the Stampede match, which is going to be Team AEW versus the Demand / Callous Family. And assuming Darby successfully defends the title this Wednesday night and MJF accepts the challenge for the hair versus title match, that'll be our world title match. So we still got to figure out the TNT title picture, women's tag.
Already really solid, though.
Like, yes, yes. And tickets have surpassed last year's. Tickets are looking really good for this, which is a good sign. Let me check on the number real quick. Help if I look up the right account. WrestleTix on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Does fantastic work. Last night was sold out, by the way. Fairway to Hell was 933 people. That was the setup.
That was sold out.
Yeah. Let's see. Double or nothing.
Well, you're looking that up. I'm watching a lot of TGL. 1,000 people in that place. That's packed. Like it's not built obviously for a professional wrestling event, right. But 1,000 people, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It was loud. It was loud in there. So, of course, acoustically, it's set up to be loud.
Yeah.
This was as of Friday, May 8th. The current setup is 13,680 for Louis Armstrong Stadium in Flushing, New York, Queens. So far distributed 12,800. So there's 880 tickets remaining. And then they'll open up more.
It'll be a sellout.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're looking at pretty much 13,000 right now. That's a pretty good number. So, yeah, especially for New York, a market they run quite a bit. So, anything else, Shep, that you want to discuss on the AEW front before we wrap this bad boy up?
No, I think we wrapped it all up tonight. We did a hell of a job without some jackalope that wasn't here. You know who that name is?
I believe his name's Workhorse Paul.
Ooh, the old workhorse.
Paul rolls in late again, claiming he carried the load. Says he's the workhorse, son, while the calendar takes a roll. Got a can of Mountain Dew and a grin that won't behave. Talks like he built this thing from the first mic to the grave. He swears he's never missed a beat, then he misses half the run. But he talks so big and sweet, you think he got it done. Paul the workhorse, yeah, that's the line. Paul the workhorse, most of the time. He loves that dude in a roughhouse show, and guess who's wrong wherever they go.
Paul guess who's wrong wherever they go.
That's the best line. That's the best line.
He's good at WWE picks, though, remember?
He lights up when the boys get mean. Two big bodies in a ring. Shouting, there goes one hard slam. Like that's a holy thing. He'll point at the screen and laugh. Say, I know who takes the bell.
Let's get with it.
Then the bell rings.
hangs out and his pick falls flat on itself. He talks that talk all week long like he's got the future pinned. Then the card goes hard right on and Paul is wrong again. Paul the workhorse, yeah, that's the line. Paul the workhorse most of the time. He loves that. Shows up in that same old life. And we love that stubborn fool for the mess and every win. Cause every barn needs one old mule who acts like he's in charge again. Paul the workhorse, yeah, that's the line. Paul the workhorse most the time. He loves that do at a roughhouse show and guesses wrong wherever they go. Paul the workhorse, bless his soul, he pulls that wagon.
Bless his soul, Paul the workhorse.
I love it. I mean, so many good one-liners in there.
It's amazing what you can do with AI. You give it just a few, a little prompt, boom.
Real quick, put that comment about Sean Martin up real quick. I think he's got a hell of a point here. You all should watch Supercard on Friday. It's a good card. It's most likely the best chance for Athena to drop the title. I agree with him on that. What little Supercard I've looked at, Swerve could be the reason Blake Christian beats Mandito too. Ooh. He's got a hell of a point there.
That's another match I forgot to mention on the card.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Blake Christian would be perfect as a title holder in ROH. So,
and he says the first ever women's survival of the fittest match and likely main eventing.
There you go.
There you go.
So, hey, little shout out to ROH this coming Friday.
Yeah, thank you, Sean, for keeping us in the loop with ROH, because I do. I need to get going on my ROH. I am slacking big time.
I am too. But between Dynamite, Collision,
there's only so much time.
There's only so much time, and there's so much wrestling, which
is a great problem to have.
Wait, what a hell of a time to be a wrestling.
It is. That's why I laugh, like, everybody, like, whether you like AEW, WWE, whatever, any other promotion, like, when you're hoping a promotion will fail and going out of business, I'm like, why? Having all this at our exposure is the best. People forget how bad it was on American television when WWE was the only product you could watch.
Yeah.
And TNA was hard to find at the time.
And we had no such thing as streaming.
Yeah. And so you couldn't watch New Japan easily or anything, or ROH.
I think 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, I finally watched all the shit from WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, it's a lot.
All the GCW stuff, all the AAA stuff. I mean, there was so much shit. I finally caught up on it, and I enjoyed every bit of it.
And man, like, next year, I know I've said this before on the pod, but assuming Mania 43 stays in Saudi, AEW's got to capitalize in the States that weekend and run a huge event and have all the independents run events wherever they are.
Yeah.
Have to capitalize on that.
They have to. They have to have a WrestleCon.
Yep.
They have to have to do it. They have to do it in a big enough city where there's smaller venues to run the independent shows and bring everybody together because of WrestleCon. Have AEW have, they don't need a 2-day show, but they need
just a big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, with the time difference, you can run it the same day as Mania, just later. That was night one.
Well, hell, here's what you do. You have a pay-per-view scheduled for Sunday afternoon, whatever. But you go to that town and you run a Dynamite, you run a Collision.
Yes.
Okay. And then you have all your independent stuff. You have your WrestleCon going on. And then you have a Sunday night pop-off.
Yep. Yep. We know Tony's a businessman. If he can do it, he's going to do it. So,
I mean, I wouldn't go to Vegas.
No. It wouldn't surprise me if they go kind of their home away from home in Chicago.
No, I have another town.
Okay.
They go TBS Heart. They go to Atlanta.
That'd be cool.
They go to Atlanta.
That'd be cool.
They should go to Atlanta. Let's put it that way.
That'd be cool. Plenty of venues there.
There's plenty of shit conference centers and smaller venues around. Yep. And yeah, you run Atlanta.
You hear us, Tony? Atlanta next year.
There it is.
April 2027.
Even if you want to run an outdoor show in your baseball stadium, it's April and it's in Atlanta. You're going to have decent weather.
Yep. Very true.
Where it's not April and you're in fucking Philadelphia.
Yes. Or New York. Doubt they'd do that again.
Or yeah, New York.
Both of them were cold. So, yep. But good stuff tonight, Shep. We covered a lot of ground. But if you ever want more in keeping up what's going on, the Kicking Out Podcast, follow us on all social media platforms at Kicking Out Pod. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. We are so close to 500 subscribers, which I know is not a huge number to some people, but it is to us over here, the Jackalopes at KOP.
Paul can barely count to 500, so it's a big deal.
It's a true story. True story. Even though he's a workhorse. Bless his soul. Bless his soul. But and you can follow us on social media. I'm at TannerLee92. Shep's at TheShep27. And the workhorse, who's not here, Paul Zartman's at PaulZartman87. And if you like listening to podcasts, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts at. And if it is Apple Podcasts or Spotify, hit us with that 5-star review and leave us a nice rating. We'd appreciate that. I mean, let us know if you like the Workhorse Paul show, song. So we know. So how you know. Love that they made that on a t-shirt. I might have to get that, by the way. Speaking of t-shirts, you can get KOP merchandise, kickingoutshop.com, or on Pro Wrestling Tees, kickingoutshop.com. We have way more designs than we do on Pro Wrestling Tees, but the designs on Pro Wrestling Tees are only available on Pro Wrestling Tees. Kicking Out Shop, we got coffee mugs like this. We got t-shirts like this NWO inspired t-shirt I have shipped. You got your t-shirts yet? Really?
No, I was hoping to wear one tonight, but
I'm really surprised.
They did not come in this week. Maybe they'll be there tomorrow.
You can get your Main Event Shep shirts, you can get your Mountain Dew Paul shirts, all kinds of stuff. KOFNP ECW inspired t-shirts. We got drinkware on there, all types of good stuff. Hoodies, which you really don't need a hoodie now, but hey, you will in the winter when it gets cold. So kickingoutshop.com. And like I said earlier, make sure you are following the Main Event Wrestling Network on all social media at main_event_net, because on Saturday, May 23rd, we are going live from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our AEW Double or Nothing prediction show. You don't want to miss it. For Austin Shepherd, I'm Tanner Lee. Join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye, mwah, and good night. Bam!